It's a freedom machine like no other. Starting, growing, and cashing out of your own business.
Then all hell breaks loose.
Burned out, carrying all the weight on your shoulders, fighting fire after fire, never getting a break. But that was so yesterday.
It's time for your business breakthrough. Break out of the bottleneck. Break through to new levels of success. And break into a life you love. Now from Park Avenue in New York City, here's attorney, strategist, and SBA small business champion, Nina Kaufman. This is the Business Breakthrough Podcast.
Hello, how are you? Welcome to Business Breakthrough. I'm your host, Nina Kaufman, coming to you from the heart of New York City, and I'm glad you're here today. Thanks for tuning in. In this episode, we're going to chat with Michael Gazzale. He's the president and CEO of City Running Tours, and we're going to talk about growing profitably with a multi-city team. Now, I know that many of you may not necessarily operate in different cities, but a lot of what he talks about is really important to building and growing a business that ultimately you can sell, or it applies also if you have different lines of business. And one of the reasons is that with multi-city locations, Michael has had to figure out the systems that work. You know, that's something we touch on in our special report, 10 Steps to a Million Dollar Business. It's that importance of systems so you're not reinventing the wheel with every client and every process. I mean, can you imagine what would happen? I mean, Michael, he just can't have his hands on what's going on in Chicago and San Francisco and Miami all at once. So, again, to think about systems, go and get our special report at businessexponential.com/pod report. And that way you can also give thought to how can you make sure that communication, another point, is consistent and regular so you're getting the information that you need. That's a system as well. And that's also something Michael's done really successfully, is finding ways to communicate, to keep in touch, again, so that he can just be aware of what might be going on, what might not be working so well, and be able to correct that really quickly. And also, as he is growing, again, into multiple cities and continuing to expand into other cities, he's also doing something really smart, which is evaluating. Is it working? I mean, how often have you gone full tilt boogie into establishing, let's say, a new service line or a new pricing system, and then all of a sudden realized you're working harder, it's not working out for you, but you haven't sat down to do that deep dive to see why is that? What might be changed? You know, there's an expression, growth for the sake of growth is the ideology of the cancer cell. Yeah, really morbid. It's not just about growing so you can get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. It's about growing in a way that's profitable. And that's hard to do if you're not evaluating whether things are working or not. So for all of those reasons, the systems, the communication, the evaluation of growth, those are the reasons that I'm really looking forward to talking with Michael this week. So a little bit about Michael Gazzale. He's got over 10 years of experience working in business development with a unique combination of disciplines: entrepreneurship, event management, sales, hospitality, production, marketing, and operations. Michael founded City Running Tours in 2005 in New York City, and I had the pleasure of working with him at that time. And what that did in starting the company is he brought together his passion for New York City, that was his home, and his love for running. But it was an opportunity to share that and give like-minded people the chance, yes, to continue their daily routine, but in a way that they love to do and to have a lot of fun with it. So since inception, the company has expanded to 17 cities across the country. And they are continuing to grow because the niche of running is increasing year after year. So we're delighted to have Michael here on Business Breakthrough. Michael, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. This is very exciting.
Great. Now, you and I have known each other for a while. And one of the things that I'm very excited about for you is the way that you've grown your business. So I wanted to hear, because you know, some of us run into those upper ceiling challenges. If you would share with us what I call that go big or go home moment. You know, at what point did you say, you know what, I want to grow my business so that it's not about just me anymore?
That's a great question. And that's one of those things that I think it's more about understanding what your sort of motivation is for your business. Meaning, is this something that is going to become a serious business, or do I want it just to be a hobby, just something every once in a while that, you know, I enjoy doing it, but it's not going to take a lot of my time. And for me, it was a year into the business, I was convinced to work with someone who with a PR company, a small PR company that really kind of dedicated themselves to a small business like mine. And at the same time, I started to get some interest from people would find us who want to work for us. And it was all new to me, but getting that first piece of press and seeing the exposure it got and just the inquiries at the very least that it brought in, it made me realize that I enjoy doing this enough that I want to focus my attention on it and make this a serious thing. And it can't just be about me handling everything. I need to open myself up to bringing other people on and you know, start spreading my mission and getting like-minded individuals on board to really help me grow this business. And it was a great thing. And it just led to other opportunities.
Great. So what were some of your first steps in, once you had that realization, making that vision for something larger into reality?
One thing that, you know, with the press that I received or the press I was getting, it was bringing in business, which obviously it's what you want. That's the number one. But it was also bringing in people who were interested in, like I said, working with us.
Mm.
Once I was able to bring on a handful of people, it just kind of opened my mind to really put more effort into the exposure and going into it knowing that I was going to be able to handle, you know, any wave of business that comes in, that it wasn't going to all fall on me getting everything done. You know, that was an exciting thing, knowing that seeing the opportunities that were coming in, but also understanding that what I needed to do to be prepared for the next steps of the business growing.
So you touch on something really crucial. It's that, what do I need to do to be prepared for that next step? So, you know, as you're taking step by step, what were some of the systems that you realized, if I'm going to have somebody else take over, they need to know this? Can you identify some of those for us?
Yeah. Well, that's another great question. I think that we all probably think we do things the best sometimes, or it's the only way we do it is the right way. And you have to put those feelings aside. And what I needed to do was I had to create a strategy and a protocol for anyone who I was bringing on to join the team. First and foremost, to understand our mission of what City Running Tours is all about, but really to know the procedure and that's everything from start to finish and interacting with clients and providing tours and making sure they have the information, making sure they know the route and where to go. You know, I couldn't just throw someone out there who I felt I didn't have confidence in, or they just seemed to not get it or not have confidence to be out there. You know, all of us, and even now, you know, when I go out and I lead a tour, there's always some nerves involved, and that's natural. But, you know, if I knew I did my job of training these people to go out and represent the company, then I should have nothing to worry about.
Okay. And what were some of the indicators for you that somebody might not work out? But, you know, for good or for ill, what's some of your screening criteria? Let me phrase it that way.
First and foremost, I would always just sit down and have a conversation with them and just kind of talk to them. And the more and more I did it, I started to understand what makes a great guide for us. And as much as you need to be a runner, which obviously it's a part of what we do, and as much as you need to have some knowledge of and logistics of the city, it's really the number one ingredient was always the passion someone had for the city, because that's always been our focus, is showcasing the city. Because when you're experiencing one of our tours, as your guide is talking to you, and you just get a sense they really enjoy and understand and do a lot of different things in the city, that comes across in what they're talking about. It comes across in how they're talking about things and enhances the experience. So when I would sit down, those were things that I needed to know, because I was going to give them all the information for them to read and learn about the history and culture. But really, our best guides are the ones who really have that passion for the city. So if I wasn't getting that sense from them, that wasn't something I was going to be able to teach them. And, you know, that would be the number one thing that would, you know, make this relationship not work out. The other side of it would be just, you know, kind of what their motivation was. If, you know, it's okay for them for this to be something they do on the side and just to make some pocket money. But this is a very transient thing. And you get people who are excited about it and want to be a part of it, but really they maybe only be available once a month or every couple weeks. And we need people who have more availability than that, because we have to handle all the business that comes in. So, you know, that was the other factors. You know, none of the factors were bad. I mean, I never came across someone who was a bad person who I didn't think would, you know, understand what we were doing. It was more about, you know, if they had that passion or if their availability wasn't there. Those are the two big issues for us.
Okay. And you mentioned a little earlier the importance of putting aside, my way is the only right and perfect way to do it. What kind of opportunity do you have within your business to get feedback from the tour guides in terms of improving the systems?
That's another good question. And communication is very important, and we need to know always that runs, when we run a schedule, it happens, and procedure and everything is taking place as it should be. And part of our communication system is a guide must check in and check out pre and post tour, and then they must give us a full update, whether it's phone, conversation, email, so we understand the experience. Through all of that, through being out running these roads and seeing what's going on, through their interaction with the clients, they get this feedback. They get these ideas and they bring it to us. And that lets us know if we're on the right track, if we're doing the right things, if there's changes that need to be made, or if there's new things we don't know about that we need to add. And that is, it's such an important part of what we do, and it helps us continue to put the best product out there each day.
Great. So you've developed systems, you have good communication with your team, and that's not only helped you expand, but also expand to other cities. So what was part of that process of making the leap? Because you can't be as hands-on, let's say, in Chicago as you can in New York where you're living.
Right. You know, just as I have to have the trust in my local team member, my running guide, I have to have the same amount of trust with someone who I bring on to manage a city and run the city. And again, a part of it is me educating them and training them on the mission of our business and the protocols and procedures that are in place. Now, every city is different, and I rely on that local city manager who understands their city better than I do to create a strategy that's going to showcase the city better than what I can come up with from a distance. So, you know, that's a big part of what they do, and that's all part of the research that they do and we do together. So I have to really separate myself, and just through conversations and through reading about the city we're going to be in and the information they're sending me, I have to get that sense that these people understand what they're going to need to do to be successful.
Okay. And can you give a little example of the ways in which cities are different and the way you showcase them is different?
Sure. So, you know, obvious things like the size of a city. We're in large cities like New York and Chicago and San Francisco, but we're also in some smaller locations like Austin, Texas. And we're in cold weather cities like Minneapolis also Chicago. We're in cities that are beautiful all year long, like San Diego and Honolulu. So, you know, each city has a, depending on location, deals with different issues like weather, like city size. We also need to understand the market in that city. For example, New York City is easy because everyone comes to New York. But like Honolulu, there's a lot of their tourists come from the Far East and Japan and China. So it's understanding who's traveling to those cities so we know exactly what to market. And then another part of that is, again, New York City, you know, it is the big city, but it's really not that big. And someone who's coming into town and wants a personalized tour can give us 5-6 miles and we can show them a lot. But we can also get around the city on subway very easily and take people to different parts of the city. We don't have that in all of our locations. So those cities, we really try to cater to the makeup of the city. A lot of the hotels are kind of in that main downtown area, and we make sure what we're offering is as convenient as possible for our clients. So they don't have to think as much. So things like that we deal with, each day and when we're exploring the possibility of being in a new location.
Okay, great. And what kind of systems or platforms do you have to communicate with your team members in all these different cities? And especially when you're talking about different time zones too, because you got New York, you've got Honolulu, you got Chicago.
Yeah, it makes it a challenge. It makes for some late night calls sometimes, and you just kind of, you do your best. But we do a lot of, email communication, whether it's one-on-one or with the group. We do regular phone conversations, and we are in 17 locations, and it's hard to get everyone on, like you said, with different time zones and just getting schedules. So we do a lot of calls per time zone, and we that way, the people who are experiencing the day at the same time can get together and we can talk that way, which has been helpful. But through social media, we have a forum through Facebook that we use that all of my managers can communicate and present ideas and ask questions. But, nothing beats a phone call to really hear a person's voice and kind of not have to wonder what tone this person is trying to get across. And, it's a lot quicker to get things done that way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And especially if, as you say, if you don't have to decipher the tone through email and try to read between the lines, literally.
Correct.
So one of the things I wanted to ask is, with all of these locations, how do you evaluate, what are some of your criteria for saying, this is working out or it's not working out? Let's start with that. And then I also want to talk to you some more about the process that you go through.
Okay. We look at basically how a city's doing, and we never rush to judgment. We like to give our cities time because we understand the many different factors that could affect this type of business. But we basically look first and foremost at the numbers and how much business it goes on week to week, month to month, comparing from one year to the next. And then part of that communication I mentioned earlier was allows us to understand what a local manager is doing in their city to help market their business. And if they're just kind of sitting back and not doing much, then it makes you think, okay, is this the right person? If they are doing that and working very hard and the numbers still aren't coming in, then you wonder, okay, is this the right city? So those are the type of things that we continuously keep our eyes on, and it just kind of helps us make sure that a city is in the right direction or city manager is in the right direction.
Okay. Have you ever run into cities that are just not running cities? I mean, I think of New York as it's so easy to walk around in New York. Do you ever run into a city where you don't really have a running culture?
No. Any city, big or small, has some level of a running community. Even, a small town in the middle of nowhere probably has some sort of running community. So that side of it is usually the easy part because, runners are everywhere and it's a niche that's growing year after year. So that's a hurdle we don't have to deal with.
sorry, hurdle, haha. bring out all of my high school track references. So one thing I wanted to ask you is, I mean, it's unusual to have so many different cities for a smaller business. Is there anything you might have done differently, given the experience that you had in terms of expansion, speed of expansion, number of guides that you have in a particular city? What are your thoughts on that?
Every day when you are running a business, it's a learning experience. So there's always things that you look back and wish you would have done differently. I think, you know, one of the things that I probably think about sometimes are the fact that maybe we first expanded 2 years into the business, and it was about an opportunities that were coming to us. Maybe I should have focused on New York City longer to get it right longer, because once you start expanding, it takes a little bit away from your city. And as I mentioned before, you know, that's where my passion is, in New York City. So, you know, it would have been good to kind of maybe stay in that longer, really understand this type of business. And I don't know if that would have taken another year or another, you know, 5 years. But that may have been an ideal thing, because as these opportunities are coming up and this is a new idea and it's very exciting, and you get caught up in that a little bit. And sometimes you don't think the right way and you're like, yeah, let's be in this city, let's do this. And when that happens, maybe you're not bringing on the right person, or maybe it ends up being not the right city. So, you know, I don't lose sleep over it. Mm. And, you know, we're in some great locations and we have a great team, and it's worked out. So, you know, you don't dwell on that type of thing. You just, you know, continue to move forward with what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Right. And in terms of holding the team accountable, what kinds of systems or processes do you have? I mean, you mentioned checking in by the guides, but also when it comes to your managers or other people on the team who may be more helpful in the financial realm, how do you all make sure that you're focused on the same goals and that you have the same goals?
The way our business is set up, everything runs through our headquarters here in New York. So that's all bookings that come for any city. We see that as well. All the money that goes through all comes to one account here. And then we do our payroll and pay all the managers and pay all the guides. So that's one way that we're able to kind of keep that control. And you know, that whole, we, allows us to hold the managers accountable, because we see what's going on. Whether it's an inquiry or a booking, we follow up a lot of times with managers, making sure questions are asked, procedures are done. You know, we don't necessarily do like a year-end evaluation, but we do evaluations each day or each week, making sure that our clients are getting the experience that they're expecting, and it's the best experience possible. And then also, we use sites like TripAdvisor or even some social media where people leave reviews or just send us emails, and it allows us to learn if their expectations were met and the manager and the guide was doing their job.
Great. Actually, you just touched on what was going to be my next question, is feedback from clients. So other than emails and TripAdvisor, do you have a system for either surveys at the end of a run or anything like that? What do you do?
There's nothing. We don't have a system that we do consistently. We have gone through phases where we've had some follow-up surveys. We've also just do some random emails. We pick clients and just kind of send them an email thanking them for the experience and just trying to find out more. I'd say 99.9% of the time is that we get a great response. They say good things, but, you know, there's always the one or two every once in a while where you find out, well, maybe that person, whether it's the manager or the guide, didn't fulfill their obligation. So, you know, it is to do it randomly. Maybe sometimes our team doesn't know what's happening. We're getting more honest answers about things, and we're able to kind of, if there's ever any issues, we're able to kind of learn it and then deal with it on our end to make sure these things do not happen again.
Right. And last question for anyone who's working with a team in another city or team members in other cities, what words of wisdom would you share in terms of really making sure that everyone, even though you're not right with each other, can function well and really be almost like a well-oiled machine, even though you may be thousands of miles apart.
Right. I think there's a few things that are important in situations like this. You really need to understand your business and the mission of your business. So as you bring on people who aren't necessarily, whether they're in your city or not, and I've mentioned this a few times, you want to make sure that people understand the mission of the business. But you also need to really educate people on the business and teach them how to do things. And, you know, if you don't really understand what you're doing, you're not going to be able to convey that to someone to go out there and represent the company the way you think they should. The other side of it is the communication. It's not just kind of saying, hey, we'll start the business. This is what you need to do. And then you don't talk to them anymore. You work with them closely to get this going. You work with them once it's going. You stay in touch and you communicate. And you always be there for any questions, for any situations that come about. And then you allow yourself to be open to their ideas. You can't be so strict with what you're doing that you say no to everything they do, because that's going to push them away. And it's not a way to make a good team. So it's really having the right kind of communication in this process. And that's very important, because if you can't be there and if you're not out there leading the tours or whatever your business is, you really have to trust these people that they are doing the job as well as you would do the job.
Right. And, you know, all really great points, you know, whatever the business is, that the importance of understanding your business model and your mission, being able to educate and train people coming into the business. So yes, they have a sense of your way of doing it, but that you're not so much of a dictator that you're not open to suggestion from others. And clearly, as you underscored really eloquently, the importance of that two-way communication and continuing communication, not just I dump this on your lap and figure it out, goodbye. So all really great points as we think about how do we want to grow and expand, and might that include people in other cities? So, Michael, thanks so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Again, this is a great opportunity for us.
And thanks to you for tuning in today. You know, I really want you to have a breakthrough in your business as well. So as a loyal listener, I want to give you free access to one of my special video trainings that I call Ignite. In this Ignite webinar, I share my quick growth scale formula that lets you bust through the plateau, design a self-sustaining business, and live the life you deserve. You can get free access by going to businessexponential.com/BBIgnite. Again, that's businessexponential.com/BBIgnite. Go there now, and we'll see you on the next episode of Business Breakthrough.